Well, good morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We just bless the Lord for this Sunday morning, being able to come and worship the Lord and be a part of fellowship this morning. And those of you that are watching, we appreciate you being with us. And hallelujah. It's going to be good. Let me read to you the letter that was sent out, and many of you have gotten it. Some of you that are watching may not. And I hope that you read these letters. I didn't copy and paste them off of Reader's Digest. They come through prayer. They come through fasting. They come through 40 years of meditating the Word and meditating the Scripture. And so there's a lot in there. So they're weighty. Sometimes even if they sound like, you know, if they sound like Wednesday night service, vomiting up quail. Somebody said, "What is that?" Let me tell you, that was a weighty message. It described judgment and what to expect for the next 4 years. And when I spend all day in prayer and meditation of the Word and writing these things up, Candy came out and she goes, "My goodness, what the information that you gave." Well, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you, when He has something to present to you, don't pass it up as if, okay, that just came out of a can somewhere. We don't deliver anything out of a can. Nothing around here. It's all homemade. The recipe, we don't get anything out of a box around here. It's hours and hours and hours and hours and days and days. And sometimes I'll think about, ooh, that sound good. And then if it's not fully baked, I don't give it to you. If I can't trust it, then I don't give it to you. And then I'll think about it for sometimes months before it's ever delivered. I know Homer does the same thing. A lot of times he'll call me, "What do you think of this?" "Yeah, that sounds good." And he goes, "Yeah, but I can't preach it yet because I don't know for sure." And that's what we all stand in, is a place of integrity. And all of you in our place. And besides for that, all the time that Sarah spends editing, she wants to make sure that you read the letter, right, Sarah? So these are good letters. And she makes them good-er. Hallelujah. So most of you have read this, but it's an application for Christmas, so I want to read it and give our kids a little bit of time. And welcome all of those that are watching. There's a lot of people everywhere. Praise God. Appreciate our Alabama bunch, our Georgia bunch. Mississippi, thank you for watching. Arizona, thank you for watching. Washington State, not D.C., maybe D.C., but Washington State. And a brother that watches us, and it's a big part of this. Hallelujah. All over. Tennessee is hallelujah. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." December is the month we celebrate Christmas, and this is the month we commemorate the birth of Jesus, the Christ, into the earth. One of the traditions of Christmas is giving and receiving of gifts, but why? And where does this tradition originate? It goes much further than the legends of a man named Saint Nicholas, who was born around 280 A.D., in the nation of what is known as modern-day Turkey. Saint Nicholas was known for giving away all of his inherited wealth, and traveled the countryside helping the poor and the sick. Now, there really was, and I use the word legend, but talking about how much was said, but there really was a man, and it was termed Saint Nicholas, and so he really was a good guy, really wonderful man, And he gave away his wealth. He gave away fortune, helping people and helping the less fortunate. So there is a tradition. The tradition that we have goes back not only to this man, of course, but we're going to talk about giving just for a moment. And of course, you know the gifts that came later. They were not immediately at the stable. Later, sometime later, we don't know. He was a child when the Magi showed up. I don't know if there was three or not. I think one year I said there was three, and Homer has never let me forget it. But the kings of the Orient did travel, and later they found him. Scholars will say he was probably about 2 years old when they brought their gifts. So modern day Christianity or the world will just conglomerate the shepherds and the magi and all of it. But there were gifts soon after his birth. We do know that. So that's interesting to know. But as wonderful as that story is, the original giver at Christmas was God. And the original gift was Christ. Hallelujah. John tells us in his gospel that God so loved the world that he gave his own, that he gave the greatest gift he could ever give to mankind, which was his only begotten son. Surprisingly, contrary to today's standards, this gift was neither airmailed nor delivered by Amazon. It did not come with glitz, sparkle, or glamour. It was not delivered to the doorstep of a palace, but it came special delivery from God straight to an animal stable. It was then placed in the feeding trough of the cattle and sheep that was there to house, that was there, that housed, that was housed there. Luke 2:7 says this, and she, Mary, the mother of Jesus, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Of course, we do not know the actual date or time of Jesus' birth, nor do we have any record of his physical size. Today, parents usually know the sex of their baby before the child is born, and the first information they announce after the birth is the size in length and weight. Now, it is true, we don't know. We celebrate. Mankind has consolidated and said, okay, we will agree that we will celebrate his birthday on December 25th. Most historians that I've read, several that I've read, will put the date of his birth somewhere in April. So, which is interesting. He died at the Passover, which is usually in April, and he was born. We pretty much believe he was born somewhere in the month of April. But hallelujah, I think December's great. It's great. Let's just say for fun, and as an example, that Jesus weighed 8 pounds at birth. That's a pretty typical weight for a bouncing baby boy. But this baby boy was anything but typical. We have the most unique 8 pounds ever to come into existence lying in a manger. Jesus was and is the most unique individual in the universe. In a very true sense of the word, we see deity coming to live inside physical human flesh. John's gospel starts by telling us how that deity transitioned into humanity. Now just think for a moment with me. Just let's meditate just for a moment. The uniqueness of Jesus, there's nobody like him. There's nobody. God became a man. So there's nobody like, there's no creature in heaven, not even God, that's like Jesus in this sense of the word. Every human being is either pure human being. You have a spirit, soul, and body, but you're not deity. Okay? Angels are just pure angels. Even the fallen ones became fallen angels. God, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father are pure deity. That's all they are. There's no mixture in them. But the one that we call the Christ, He became one of us. Whew. He's the only one like Him in all the universe. My God. And I get to pledge my allegiance to Him forever and ever. Hallelujah. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now it's talking about the deity. This is before Jesus became a man. John 1:14 says this, and the Word, that's the one who created all things, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All physical matter of the universe, including this pulpit, all physical matter originates from something. And in this case, it's not something, but rather someone. Physical matter did not come into existence through the cosmic explosion called the Big Bang, but rather through the second member of the Godhead, who is referred to by John as the Word. All things were created by Him and for Him. All cosmic matter, everything, all the stars, the carpet, our flesh, which, you know, it's dust, but it has all minerals in it and all kinds of, the trees, the birds, everything came out of the Word, the second member of the Godhead. God the Father, when we read Genesis, let there be light, He spoke it. But Colossians tells us that the, if you want to say the energy, that's not probably a good, the creativeness, the very enzymes, the very particles came out of the one that we call the Christ. Now the Holy Spirit, He had something to do in helping the formation. But everything proceeded. It was like, it's amazing. This Godhead way of thinking and the agreement they had, God the Father spoke it. But all of creation came out of Christ. All the stars, everything. It's amazing. I love it. Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created that are in the earth, that's speaking of Christ, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, He's talking about classifications of angels here, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and they were created for Him. So there we have it, 8 pounds, lying in a manger. One that He Himself in His deity millennials earlier created out of His own substance. In other words, I'm laying in something I created. But the most amazing aspect about this 8 pounds is that the Word teaches us that He, the Word, laid down His deity for the purpose of redemption and humbled Himself and became a man. Philippians 2:6-7 and 8 says this, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery being equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and being formed in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What we can understand from these verses is that the Word, who was God, and the one that was now called Jesus the Christ, actually altered His own person and chose to no longer function as God during His existence on earth. God was in the flesh, but no longer functioned as God. Oh, I love that. I'm God, but I'm laying down all my deity. In other words, and that pretty girl walks by, and I think, she's beautiful. But then the secondary thought is to think something beyond what is pure. The part of Him that said, no, I'm not going to do that. That was not God in deity. That was a human being that was born with a life of God in him, we call it the born again nature. In other words, he defeated sin and the temptation of sin, not through his deity, but through his humanity, so that none of us could ever stand up and say, you didn't sin. The word says you didn't sin, but you were God. And he goes, no. I laid my God stuff down. I laid my God stuff down. When I didn't sin, it was because I, as a what we would call a born-again believer, a Christian with a life in my humanity, I chose to live a pure life. Then I can say, I pledge allegiance to you, sir. I can follow you. If you did it, I can do it too. Man up, square my shoulders. I can do it, sir. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Only by a sinless man could redemption be served. Only the last Adam could reverse the effects of the fall of the first Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam made a quickening spirit. You notice Jesus is never called the second Adam. Don't ever call him the second Adam. There may be a slip of the tongue and you don't mean it, but he's not the second Adam. He's the last Adam. Why? Because there'll never be a third. There'll never be a fourth. There'll never be a fifth. When he came, he was the last. He's the last. He's the end of all. Hallelujah. Only a man who had been quickened himself, having the life and nature of God, could become the spotless lamb who would redeem us back to God. Only the birth of an 8-pound human being with the life and nature of God could once again reinstate the dominion of God through man over all the works of the devil. Only the coming of the 8 pounds in a manger could set humanity free from sin, sickness, and poverty. God could not do it himself. The 8 pounds in the manger did not remain there, but grew up. He did not grow up. He did not just grow up physically, but he grew up spiritually in the full stature as the mature Son of God. He walked out his life in the flesh, baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. He became the Lord of the church and demonstrated to us the will of the Father for the church in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hallelujah. Amen. Appreciate those amens. Where's our 8 pounds in a manger now? His form has been altered. He's the glorified Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. When John saw him in heaven in the book of Revelation, he described him in this manner. His head and his hair were white as wool. As white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet likened to fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. All of his deity, his godly attributes, are fully functioning once again in his glorified humanity. John said of Jesus in Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Whew. God. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I am, Revelation 22:13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. We can most solemnly conclude by what John saw and heard from Jesus, that he is no longer a babe in a manger. He's the Lord of the church, and he's the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is the fearful-looking Savior ready to serve vengeance on the enemies of the church. The Jesus with the eyes like fire is not afraid of COVID-19, nor any of its mutations for his church. He's not afraid of the Antichrist liberal spirit that is trying to overthrow our nation. He's not afraid for his church of any coming tribulation, but he is in a posture of expectation. Hebrews 10:12 and 13 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." What is Jesus expecting? He's expecting that you and I will become a spiritual conquering force in the earth. He's expecting that we will bring forth a great harvest through an outpouring by God's Spirit that we're calling revival. Our Christmas baby grew up. He's no longer 8 pounds in a manger. But he is the Lord of the church, expecting something from us. When we give praise to God during this Christmas season for the coming of Christ, or when we wish anyone a Merry Christmas, let us do it with the consciousness that 8 pounds in a manger changed the destiny of the world through his coming. Thank God for our Christmas gift. Thank God that changed humanity and destiny forever. Hallelujah. There's a thank you paragraph in there. Let's just bow our hearts before the Lord before we go on this morning. If you're watching this morning, or if you're in here, we're celebrating Christ's birth, which gives us the image of Christ in a manger, but that baby is no longer a baby. He's full grown, full stature of maturity, and he's the Lord of the church, and he can fix your life. A baby could not fix your life. He had no ability when he was 3 days old to fix, 2 days old, 6 months old, but he grew up. Now in the full stature of who he is, that baby in a manger can't fix you, but Jesus, the Lord of heaven, can fix you. He can fix you physically. He can fix you spiritually. He can fix you in every single way. First of all, this morning, if you do not know him, well, I know him, Pastor, because I'm here. If you do not know him, what I'm saying is, if you have not accepted him and asked him deliberately, listen, your mama can't save you. Your daddy can't save you. A priest can't save you. Well, somebody, if I don't make it, if I'm a bad boy and something happens to me, they'll pray me out of hell, or they'll pray me out of purgatory. There is no such word in the Bible. Believe me, I'm a studied, very studied person. You cannot find the teaching of any intermediate place in the Bible. There's no intermediate place. There's no holding place. There's no place for anybody to get you out of. That's a myth. That's a fable. That's a fairy tale. Somebody made that up to make somebody feel good. Once you leave this planet, it's either heaven or hell, and nobody, not a priest, not a pastor, not mama, not daddy, can get you out of there. And the good thing is, nobody can pull you out of heaven. Jesus Christ came as a baby, but if you're here this morning, or if you're watching and you don't know for sure, if I said to you, if you die after this service, how do you know you're going to heaven? If you tell me, well, because I haven't done anything bad recently and I've been trying to be a good man, that's not the right answer. The right answer is that you have accepted Christ and his blood, and that you've chosen to follow him, And that when you do sin, if you do happen to sin after you have been born again, that you immediately say, Lord, forgive me and wash me, and I will follow you. This morning I'm going to lead everyone, and it won't hurt us all to pray, and everyone out there, if you're not totally sure that you've accepted Christ, what do I do after? Do I have to join the church? Do I have to pay something? Nothing other than follow Christ, and the good start is to come to a place like this. Don't just go back out into the world. Don't just go home and start doing what you've been doing. Change your life. Change your life. But God will be there to help you change. I'm going to pray this prayer. If you're not totally sure, Christmas is a good time to say, I received Christ at Christmas. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus came in a manger. But I believe that he grew up, that he died for my sins, and he resurrected, and he's at your right hand. Now, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins, and wash me in your blood, and I will serve you forever, and I will follow you forever. And I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, if you prayed that prayer, contact us. We'll help you. We try to help disciple people along. If you don't get our letters, write us. And they're free. You don't have to ever give anything. They're free. And just contact us and say, I'd like to get your letters. Could somebody tell the little ones that we're about? What's that? Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Oh, thank you. And we appreciate all the glory to God. All the glory to God. So we're getting ready for our little ones to come over here in just a moment. And hallelujah. Somebody just went next door to get them. And you'll be patient if you're watching this morning. Hallelujah. And for those of you who did not hear, Corey asked, did I want him to sing in the meantime? No. And no, we don't. And just for a prelude entertainment, Corey, run up here real quick. And they're about to come, so you can't take up the show here. Turn around. He gets the ugly sweater and shoes. Hallelujah. We're proud of you, Corey. Corey has went places in the spirit this last year that we're so proud of. So are they getting close?
Yes.
Okay, tell them they are welcome to come in. And again, we say we don't own the rights for this music, but we're using it, okay, momentarily, okay?
Oh, holy night, the stars.
Oh. the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the song felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, when Christ was born, oh night divine, oh night, oh night was born, oh night divine, oh, oh night angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Dei. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be? which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ, whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy could calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Guys did great. Guys, great. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. Let's all stand together. Those of you that have joined us this morning, we're going to be going off air here in just a little bit, but we love you. We love all of you, and this will be our last Sunday service. We will be here Wednesday night before Christmas, but we want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. And may the power of God rest upon this day and upon all the hearers thereof. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this spirit of Christmas that is none other than the Holy Ghost, bringing forth the proclamation that Christ the Lord is alive and is seated at the right hand of the Father. We bless the day, and we bless the food, and we bless everyone that is here and those that are watching. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Amen.